Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great nation of Israel, and how you moved this large body of people from Egypt to the sea and put them between the sea and the army, put them in a spot where they had to trust you. Lord, we may be in a spot like that today. Teach us something from this lesson about how to trust you when we're in a very difficult place. I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. In a tug of war, there are two groups of people pulling in opposite directions. If both groups are relatively equal in strength, not much movement takes place. But if one group is stronger than the other, then they pull in their direction. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29 records the positive result of a spiritual tug of war among the Israelites. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. There were actually two forces within the nation of Israel at the time pulling against each other. There were those who did definitely believe in God, but there were those who doubted. Many times in Israel's history, the doubters prevailed. But in this particular case, the believers prevailed. Let's consider, go back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. When they were still in Egypt and Moses was introducing to them the idea of leaving, the officers of the children of Israel complained. Exodus chapter 5, verse 19. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron and stood in the way as they came forth from Egypt. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to slay us. Now go over to Exodus chapter 14 in the context of being at the Red Sea and verse 10. The people realize that they are in a difficult situation. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Well, then the Israelites who complained while they were still in Egypt, verse 12, say this, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Psalm 106 and verse 7 that I referred to at the beginning of the service says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. There were a lot of the Israelites that didn't get it. They went through, remember last week we talked about how God spared them from the first nine plagues altogether. None of them touched the Israelites whatsoever. And in the 10th plague, he would spare them if they put the blood on the doorposts. But then when they come to the Red Sea, they had seen all of that. They had been through all of that. And they are only a few days away. Moses kept telling Pharaoh, we're going 3 days. We're going to take a 3 days journey. They're only 3 days away. So it's not like it's been months and years. A few days. And Psalm 106 and verse 7 says, they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked them at the sea. Remember the mercies we talked about last week? He spared them from all of the plagues in Egypt. While the Egyptians are suffering from all the plagues. But 3 days later, they couldn't remember that. Now, some of the people believed. They believed way back when they were still in Egypt. Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. The people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. And at the Passover, they believed. The people, Exodus chapter 12, verse 27, the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Now we come to Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. And there are still some of the people who are believing. In fact, at this point, it appears that those who are believing have a stronger voice than those who are complaining. Where it says at the end of verse 10 in Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now there are those who are going to complain, but I'm seeing two different groups of people here at the Red Sea. Because it tells us in Hebrews 11:29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. There were those who believed afterwards, Psalm 106 verse 12 says that after the thing was all over, then some believed. And I suppose that seeing is believing, you know, if after you've seen the Red Sea parted and you've walked across on dry land and you're safe on the other side, after it's all over and you've seen what the Lord has done, it's easy to believe then, right? Seeing is believing. But wouldn't it be better if you could believe without seeing? That's what Jesus said to Thomas, remember? Thomas said, I need to see. And then he saw. And then he believed. And what did Jesus say to Thomas? Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. How do you believe without seeing? What's our big word? You have to hear. You have to listen. You have to hear. So here they are at the sea. And Moses is about to tell them what the Lord has told him. That they're going to be okay. The Lord is going to deliver them. Now, the sea is an amazing body of water. They have traveled through a canyon to get to the sea. From Egypt, crossing through a mountainous area, there is a winding cavern, sort of like the Grand Canyon. Big, high walls on either side, somewhat narrow. And the Israelites have passed through this narrow passage and come to the Red Sea, where there is, at this particular point, right at the mouth of this canyon they've come through, a rather large sandy beach. large enough to contain the entire group of the Israelites, but right up against the sea. And at this point, the width of the sea varies, but right at this point, the sea is 8 miles across. Now, that's pretty wide. There is only one way in to this point, and there is only one way out, the way they came. And now the Egyptian army is coming through that canyon. Moses was told, verses 1 through 4 of Exodus chapter 14, ahead of time that the Egyptians were coming. We'll pick it up in verse 5, God speaking to Moses. And it was told the king of Egypt, well, God spoke to Moses in verses 1 through 4. We'll pick up the narrative in verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside those two places that are hard to pronounce. Again, Moses kept telling Pharaoh it's a 3 days journey. Now, it would have taken the Israelites 3 days to get there, but it wouldn't have taken the Egyptian military that long. They would be able to travel a lot faster than the Israelites did, so it wouldn't take them very long to catch up. So here on the one side is the sea. On the other side, coming through this narrow canyon, the Egyptian military. Verse 10 of Exodus chapter 14, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Everyone was afraid. That's understandable. I mean, look at the situation they're in. None of them have any training militarily. They've been making bricks to build the pyramids. That's what they've been doing for years. But how do you respond to your fear? This is where I see the two groups. On the one hand, the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. The other group, beginning in verse 11, said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word what we did tell thee in Egypt? Let us alone, leave us stay and be slaves. Scary situations will happen occasionally, but how do we respond to those situations? Will we cry out to the Lord, or will we compromise and give in to the enemy? Tuesday's going to be an election. Do you have a certain way you hope the election turns out? What if it doesn't turn out the way you want it to? How will you respond? Will you panic? Or will you trust the Lord? Does he have a way for us to get through? I recently mentioned how our offerings have been down quite a bit this year because in the last few years we've had quite a few people go to heaven not to be helped. They went to heaven. They're better off than we are here. But it's a little hard for them to put things in the offering from heaven. Let's face it. Just the way it is. I remember years ago, we had some years of plenty. We had a considerable surplus every year for about 3 or 4 years in a row. And every year, we gave at least $10,000 to our missionaries for special projects. It was great. You see, we didn't store that money up for ourselves. We shared it. I also remember some years, several years in a row, that we were running a little short. But the Lord brought us through that. And we were okay. We have two choices to respond to our present situation. We can panic, or we can trust the Lord. The Israelites had two choices. They could panic, or they could trust the Lord. Verse 13 of Exodus 14, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. For the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." So God instructed Moses what they should do, beginning in verse 15. He says in verse 15, "Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward." Go forward? Which way is forward? It's the sea. Now, I got to jump over here to this place where I have some notes. The Red Sea averages 1,610 feet deep. The deepest part is 9,970 feet deep. There happens to be a land bridge right at the spot where the Israelites are camped. Well, you know, it didn't just happen that way. God had it planned all along. But even still, the water at that spot is 100 feet deep. Have you, any of you tried to swim in 100 foot deep water for 8 miles? Doesn't sound like a reasonable prospect, does it? We're kind of stuck. This land bridge is very interesting, however. It's 8 miles across, down 100 feet. It's about a half a mile wide. When God will part the water, there could be as many as 350 people shoulder to shoulder across that half a mile. That would leave, if there are 3 million of them altogether, 8,500 people deep. They could all fit in that 8 miles all at one time. If they go at a relatively slow pace of 2 miles per hour, the first group begins, takes them 4 hours to go across. By that time, the last of the group is just starting, takes them 4 hours to go across. That entire group of people could cross in 8 hours. Wow. Interesting. But here comes the Egyptian army. What are we going to do? Verse 19. of Exodus 14, the angel of God, which went before the camp. Remember, in the daytime, it would be a pillar of cloud. In the nighttime, a pillar of fire. As you see the cloud in the daytime, you don't need the fire. At nighttime, you need the fire to see. And this was actually the Lord Jesus Christ, the New Testament explains to us. The Son of God was this personification in this cloud and this pillar that led the people of Israel. It moved from the front at the edge of the sea all the way to the back to the mouth of the canyon. And notice it says, the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, that is to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all night. So this pillar expands itself so that it closes the mouth of the canyon at nighttime. Understand, it's not like today where there's lights everywhere. The canyon would be very dark at night. And on the side of the pillar facing the Egyptian army, it became the cloud. It stayed the cloud even at nighttime, and continued to cast darkness into the canyon and prevented the Egyptian army from leaving that canyon. But on the other side, it became a brilliant beam of fire, which when God parted the sea, lighted the entire passage through the 8 miles of the sea so that the Israelites could walk through at nighttime and still have light. It's an amazing thing. And so verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. All that night he sustained it and made the sea dry land, and waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the wilderness of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. 100-foot high walls of water. Think anybody tried to stick their hand in the wall of water? Catch a fish? I know I probably would have tried it. Once the Israelites are passed through, the pillar moves from the face of the canyon and allows the Egyptian army to pursue. It's just morning. Notice verse 23. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, you see, the Israelites have gone through all night. Now it's the very dawn of the morning, and the Egyptians are going to go through. The Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud. It's still pillar and fire on each side. And troubled the host of the Egyptians. Verse 25. The first thing God did was take the wheels off the chariot. This was no fault of the mechanics back home that failed to tighten the screws on the wheels. God took the wheels off the chariot. And do you know they have actually found chariot wheels at that exact spot in the Red Sea? And it says they drave them heavily. The wheels fall off. The Egyptians are still in the chariot. The horses are still pulling. And now the chariot is dragging on the ground. So that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And you can see all of these Egyptians jumping out of the chariots and starting to run. Verse 26, "The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon the chariots and upon their horsemen. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. And just as the sun rose above the horizon, the Egyptians could see the plight that they were in. Moses stretched forth his hand. The 100 high walls of water collapse, and they perish." Verse 29, "But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians." Now when they're standing there on that sandy beach, and the water is still churning in the Red Sea, and the army is soon upon them. And Moses says, "Nothing to worry about. God's going to deliver you. Go forward," and you're looking at the sea that is deep and wide. Can you believe? Can you believe God can do it? What are we facing today? There are forces coming upon churches all over this world, forces of worldliness and fleshly interests. Will we go forward and believe that we can, by God's power and might, resist the forces that would have us compromise? Can we believe that God will be with us if we will stand strong and not give in to the world? Can we believe that if our government goes sour and things become difficult for Christians, that we can remain strong and God will see us through, giving us a way forward? Always forward, never back. He says to the Israelites, while the sea is still churning with all of its water, he says to Moses to say to the Israelites, go forward. Will we go forward? And not turn back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this challenge to our hearts. There is a type of sea that we stand at this day with the enemy at our back. Give us ears to hear the truth of your word. faith to believe that you will make a pathway forward for us to continue to stand strong and be faithful to all you want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.